work of our PAC. We will have now three scientific reports, 20 minutes each. The first will be presented by Dr. Kochetov, Fermi surface reconstruction in underdoped caprates. So please. Where is the speaker? Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's, good morning, everybody. I'm going to, in my short talk, I'm going to present some new recent results on the Fermi surface reconstruction observed in the underdoped caprates. This is actually, at the moment, one of the hot topics in high TC superconductivity theory, both in theory and in relevant experiments. What is important, this issue deals with the properties of the normal state of the caprates. And this is actually normal states, physics behind normal states is still a mystery. It's not a Fermi liquid physics as it is in conventional BCS superconductors. But to understand the physics of the normal states is absolutely necessary to get an idea what kind of physics governs the high TC superconductivity itself, because superconductivity evolves out of the normal state. And the plan of my talk is follows. First, I would like to say a few words about generic phase diagrams, characteristic of the caprates, doped caprates. Then the method that we used, and both theory and numerics approach about Fermi surface. Then I move on. I will move on to Fermi surface reconstruction itself and a short conclusion. And I should say that it's basically the theory of this of what I'm going to talk about today. Is published in these two papers, and in this one is a very recent one. And this work has been done in collaboration with Ilya Ivantsov, who is in our laboratory, in Laboratory of Theoretical Physics, and Alvaro Ferres, who is at the International Institute of Physics, Natal, Brazil. So let me start with, how much time I got? 20, yeah? Let me start with a few words about generic phase diagram for the caprates. It's a temperature versus a Hall concentration, doping. P is doping. So you see there is a well-known phase diagram. There is a long-range antiferromagnetic order that terminates at very, very low critical concentration, then goes superconducting dome. And normal state, this is a state which is above the superconducting dome. It consists basically of the three regimes. This is a so-called pseudo-gap, and light blue is so-called strange metal phase, and blue is depicted by, it depicts the standard conventional Fermi liquid. And what is actually now at the moment, people believe that the physics behind these two slopes of this superconducted dome is qualitatively different. This one, the physics of Fermi liquid, conventional Fermi liquid theory. It's more or less clear what's going on here. But this one is an underdoped case. It's absolutely unclear, and at the moment, it's most interesting. This phase exhibits a very rich and interesting and unusual physics. Actually, I should say a few words about what is optimal doping, undoped case and overdoped case. So optimal doping corresponds to the maximum of the transition temperature. This is something like here. What is it to the left is underdoped case. Well, to the right from this point is the overdoped. What is the Fermi surface reconstruction? It was first observed in the 2007. Actually, people believe before this that in the pseudo-gap phase, for instance, or strange metal phase, there is no any Fermi surface at all, and it's absolutely unusual. It exhibits this phase exhibits absolutely unusual properties. very different from those of that characterize Fermi liquid behavior. But in 2007, in the so-called oscillation experiments in very high magnetic fields at very low temperature, it was calculated. Fermi surface that corresponds to the Avedov case was calculated, and it turns out that it is a large whole Fermi surface centered at pi in the Brillouin zone, and it's quite normal because we have hole doping, and the result large hole Fermi liquid surface emerges, but. And in the underdoped regime, instead of the large Fermi surface, small Fermi percolate was calculated, and what is also there are two important things about that reconstruction, Fermi surface reconstruction. First one, the area of this large Fermi surface is approximately 50% of Brillouin zone. And this one is just only 2% of Brillouin zone, which clearly violates the so-called light energy theorem that states that the volume enclosed by a Fermi surface is invariant. It doesn't depend on interaction. And here we observe that violation of the light energy theorem, which indicates that it is not a Fermi liquid. And second important point is this. Is that this whole this pocket is electron-like? It's an absolute mystery because how come we start with the hole doping and end up with the electron-like pocket? And there are a few phenomenological papers have been put forward to account for this puzzle. But all of them are phenomenological and cannot be derived from the microscopical TJ model, which is believed to capture the essential physics of low-doped cuprates. And second, those models also predict those predictions that comes from this model, phenomenological models, they predict some anomalous properties that have never been detected in cuprates, and all of them predict hole pockets. Actually, there is no single theory that predicts an electron pocket that is actually observed in the experiment. And the aim of the present talk is to show that we can reproduce this Fermi surface reconstruction starting right from the microscopic TJ model, provided strong electron correlation are fully taken into account. So the basic point here is that this Fermi surface reconstruction is driven by strong electron correlation, which was a missing point in all the phenomenological models that was proposed earlier. Let me say a few words about the theory of this. What kind of theory we are dealing with? The standard TG model looks as follows. It's a very familiar Hamiltonian that indicates there is a Hopping term, C tilde operators, electron creation inhalation operators that describe Hopping of lattice electrons in the lattice. And Q capital is the electron spin. So the spin interaction term. This is a simple model, but physics behind it is very rich. But the problem in the underdoped case, there is very interesting and striking property projected electron operators exhibit actually display. This property is that they display both localized properties and itinerary properties. And we try to take this effect into account and to accompany this with taking into account the strong electron correlation to the full extent. And as a result, we end up with the following identical to the TG model representation. We map the TG model onto the so-called Hubbard Hubbard-Kunde problem, and this is the exact mapping. And what is interesting, instead of electrons hopping, now we have holes, D at fermionic hole operators, C is a capital, is a localized spin operator, because if there is a no, at half filling, for instance, electrons are blocked, they're locked, there is no charge fluctuation, and all spins exhibit just the display only, all the electrons display only spin degrees of freedom, localized degrees of freedom. And what is a very important point is the Kunde coupling. Here we have now S capital as small as a Doppler spin operator. And lambda now, there is a new parameter that takes into account the strength of colorations. Actually, as lambda goes to infinity and lambda is dominant energy scale in the problem, we end up with this model exactly, TG model. So TG model and this model coincide in the limit lambda is much larger than any other energy scale in the problem. But if lambda is small, correlations are weak. And this allows us to figure out how how strong electron correlation actually affect the physics. And we use a numerical method, which is so-called cluster perturbation theory, which is consists in choosing a finite cluster, 3x3 cluster, exact organization of that cluster. Inter-cluster interaction is taken into account by means of the perturbation theory. And the relevant parameter is one of the number of sites of the chosen cluster. Actually, 3x3 cluster captures the physics of the essential physics of the model. Of course, it would have been better to use a larger cluster, but there is a big problem with efficiency, because numerical efficiency, because 2x2 cluster decanization produces 81 eigenvalues, 3x3 it's 11,000, and 4x4 it's 43 million. So it's beyond our possibilities numerical. So we calculate evolution of Fermi surface with doping using perturbation cluster perturbation theory, and starting with this Hamiltonian that we propose to describe the underdoped case, because it's very effective in describing underdoped case of the cuprates because of the separation of localized degrees of freedom and attenuated degrees of freedom. And so we end up with the following phase diagrams I'm going to show you now. And there are four distinct regimes. First of all, for small concentration between 0.08 and 0.11, we get small arcs, actually, which is appear as a one side of the pocket. The other side has a very low intensity because of the fact that superconductivity is not killed in this. We do not use a high magnetic field. We just at zero field, and if there is superconductivity, there must be some order. There must be some order behind the physics of these arcs. And because of the present superconductivity, short-range order is compete with superconducting order, and as a result, it results in very low side of this pocket. But basically, this corresponds to the experimental picture, because you see, this is just an experiment. So they also observed the arc with a very low intensity of the other side. What is very interesting, what we have between 0.14 and 0.2. Those arcs start to somehow develop into 5 minutes, okay, thanks, into a very interesting picture. Here. This is a very interesting picture that consists, this figure shows that, this plot shows that Fermi surface now is split into electron-like pocket. This is for the first time where we are obtaining the electron-like pocket and two hole-like pockets. This is in the nodal region, electron-like pocket, and two hole pockets closer to the antinodes. And this actually is the manifestation of the so-called charge density wave order that has been recently observed in the under Doppler plates. And the schematic diagram that describes if there is a charge density charge order, then Fermi surface is supposed to look as follows, as experimental fact. Electron-like pocket and two hole-like pockets, exactly what we obtained within our numerical calculations. For larger and it terminates at 0.2, this structure, which means that charge density order disappears, and again an arc that could characterize the pseudo-gap phase emerges. But nobody knows what physics behind this pseudo-gap phase. So pseudo-gap phase can be separated into two regions. One is very well described by charge density wave order, and the other one is physics is still unknown as a mystery. And finally, we get a large Fermi surface, whole Fermi surface, as it should be for large whole concentrations. So this is in fact this is a very nice picture, and we get a more or less qualitatively correct description as observed in experiment in the whole doping range. And finally, I would like to show you the role of the lambda, long role of the strong variations. If we consider this picture, Fermi surface reconstruction that happens at delta whole concentration equal to 0.16, this is the most pronounced sort of Fermi surface reconstruction, then if we take lambda small, just one t is a Hopping amplitude, we, instead of this picture that is a reconstructed Fermi surface, we end up with a large whole Fermi surface, which is a characteristic of Fermi liquid behavior. So non-Fermi liquid physics disappears, and instead Fermi liquid physics emerges. This is in the limit of weak electron correlations. Electron correlations imply that I forgot to say that actually two electrons cannot sit on the same side because of the very strong short-range Coulomb repulsion. So double occupancy is prohibited, and so there is a so-called no double occupancy constraint, and lambda large enforces this constraint into the theory. And if lambda is getting bigger with some, it evolves as this. And finally, for lambda 60, it's equal to 60, which is more or less corresponds to the large enough local electron correlations, we reproduce the observed reconstruction that Fermi surface is reconstructed by charge density by water as shown in here, electron-like pocket and two hole pockets. And finally, let me say a few conclusions, small conclusions. We are going now to apply this approach to address the problems of considering strange metal, because strange metal is absolutely a miracle phase. There is no quasi-particles, there is no nothing, just sort of a critical physics govern this phase. And interplay between charge order and the PG pseudo-gap phase, which is not also, it still remains a mystery, because nobody knows what kind of order, short-range order. Looks like that PGA is dominated by some sort of short-range order, but it's unknown, still unknown. The guess was that it could be a short-range electromagnetic order, but it's not the case. It's some still unknown order that actually dominates the PGA phase. And maybe also to give a sort of independent check on our approach, we would like to consider the 3x3 clusters in the high magnetic field to explore the fate of the arcs, whether they get close into closed pockets in the high magnetic field or they remain the same. And finally, to try to use a part of the spectrum for 4x4 clusters to say how this will affect phase diagram. Qualitatively must be the same, but maybe there's going to be some quantitative changes, and it will be absolutely necessary point step to establish the validity or reliability of our approach. That's it. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much. The report is now open for questions and discussion. Please, Toby.
I've got a couple of questions. Firstly, you showed experimental data for the Fermi surface at underdoping, so at 0.1 and also at 0.25. Is there experimental data which shows the evolution between those two points, in particular with the electron hole?
There is actually 0.1 is measured in the one material and 0.2 overdoped in the other one. So there is no any measurement that continuously direct these two points within one single material. It's not possible. Actually, the overdoped case, they use some sort of material, and for underdoped, very small, they use an IBCO, so a compound. It's a different case.
So IBCO in the underdoped, did you say? Did you say IBCO for the underdoped?
Sorry, I don't...
The material, was it yttrium, barium, cuprate?
Yeah, it was yttrium, okay. Barium, this is for underdoped.
Yeah.
And the overdoped case is a different one. It's not the
possibly the bismuth.
It's a different one.
Usually there's reconstruction at the surfaces. But I have a question about the... a second question in that case, which is about what actually went into the theory. You said that... that in the low doping case you included superconductivity, so you actually put that into your cluster calculation because you said it was at zero field. So was that injected into the calculation, or is that something that naturally comes out from your combo type model?
You mean that measuring the high magnetic field and without field?
No, you said when you presented your results that, let's take, for example, the case of delta equals 0.18. You said the manifestation of the hole pockets was a feature of the charge density wave. So does that mean that your calculation automatically gets a charge density wave, or do you have to impose the charge density wave?
No. It's automatically. We do not impose any order, because we have a just TJ model, and we show what is going to emerge. We change if we calculate Fermi surface reconstruction with doping, and we end up with some characteristic figure that corresponds to the charge density wave. And people believe that if there is something like this, because in the charge density wave there is an electron pocket and two small hole pockets. Oscillator experiment don't tell you where it's located in the brilliant zone. Only photoemission experiment can tell you. But photoemission experiment can be applied in high magnetic field. So there is a combination of photoemission experiment that indicate you where it's located, plus high magnetic field oscillation experiment that indicate what the volume and calculation of the Zibic and the Hall coefficients show you where it's negative and positive, whether Hall pockets or electron-like pockets.
I can see it's indirect, but I just wanted to understand what was actually, you start with that Hamiltonian and superconductivity drops out and charge density wave drops out of it, or it's not imposed. That's really the question.
No, it's not imposed, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Unless there are other very, very urgent questions, I would like to ask you to postpone the less urgent ones to the coffee break, because we have not really much time left. Thank you once again. And let me invite the next speaker, Dr. Kichanov. Magnetic phenomena in intermetallic compounds are covered too. Studies of the limits of the itinerant electron metamagnetism concept. The floor is yours.
Okay. Dear colleagues, today I present my short talk about investigation of crystalline magnetic structure, and in general, the title of my talk is Magnetic Phenomena in Intermetallic Compounds, ErCobalt 2. It is studies of limits of the iterant electron metamagnetism concept. This work was prepared both two groups, the one groups, it is experimental groups from Frank Laboratory of Neutron Physics, and now it's our Romanian colleagues, which prepared some theoretical calculation. Okay, as introduction, I want to say what ErCobalt 2 and ErCobalt system, it is very interesting compounds. One side, it is an interesting physical phenomenon that was observed in this compound, like as gigant magnetoresistive effects, magnetocaloric effects, many structural phase transition, it is a gigant magnetoelastic effects, and of course, it is some unical magnetic phase transition, magnetic ordering of moments, and of course, we have some technological application, some possible technological application of these compounds like as permanent magnets, magnetocaloric devices, storage data and others. And both application and physical meaning, it is corresponding to very very interesting and high coupled, it is a strong correlated system, and we observe a coupled between charge, structural spin, degrees of orders, and we can effects on these orders between waves. Okay, one of interesting magnetic phenomena for this compound is metamagnetism, and in simple words, if we have a non-magnetic layer of elements, where cobalt sublattice is non-magnetic too. For magnetization of cobalt sublattice in this case, we should apply a very, very high magnetic field. But reverse situation is observed when we change the layer of elements on magnetic ions, like terbium, holmium, erbium, dysprosium, and magnetic moments on this layer of sublattice very high, up to 10 magneton bor. And this magnetic sublattice generate or induct some magnetic field on the cobalt sublattice, and we obtain a small magnetic magnetization of cobalt sublattice. And this phenomenon well described by iterant electron magnetism, metamagnetism concept. And this concept, we have two sublattice, two magnetic sublattice, it is Rayleigh and cobalt sublattice. And this sublattice is strong coupled, strong correlated. And of course, if we change one magnetic sublattice, we change another sublattice in same time. Another interesting phenomenon for this compound, it is very sensitive to applied thermodynamic parameters like as temperature, pressure, magnetic fields and others. And there are many previous experiments show what under pressure the Curie temperature of this compound is decreasing for all compound, but it is investigation of macro properties, and we doesn't know what kind of sublattice affects on the pressure, cobalt or rare of elements. And we have a possibility to check pressure effect on cobalt and rare of sublattice separately by means of neutron diffraction methods. On a BIA2 reactor, we have two neutron diffractometers for investigation under extreme condition. The first one, it is DN12 diffractometers, and we can perform high-pressure experiment up to 10 GPa. And now it's work well, a diffractometer, novel diffractometer, then six diffractometer, and we can use a diamond on with cell and achieve a pressure up to 50 GPa. And we have, of course, some additional equipment for high pressure cell preparation. We have a set of high pressure cell with sapphire anvils and diamond anvils, some sets of microscope, some drilling machine for gasket and others. And in our investigation from neutron diffraction data, we can obtain a lattice constant, obtain a bond length, valence angle as function of pressure, and of course we can obtain a magnetic moment of Rayrov sublattice and Cobre sublattice separately. Our experimental data was supported well by theoretical calculation from Romanian team, and this is a calculation of ground state electronic structure and magnetic properties of investigated compound. It is a calculation of exchange, creation energy, and density of state, and many, many other things. And what we obtain? We first investigated sample, this terbium cobalt 2, and you can see what below the Curie temperature, there are significant changes in magnetic diffraction, neutron diffraction spectra, we observed, and these changes are corresponded to magnetic phase transition from paramagnetic state to ferrimagnetic state. There is a ray of magnetic moments arranged in one side, but cobalt arranged in another side. From our neutron diffraction data, we extract parameters, crystal parameters of two phases, because magnetic phase transition corresponded with structural phase transition inside these compounds from cubic structure to rhombohedric structure. And we can extract crystal structure and obtain some structural aspect of forming magnetic properties. In rhombohedral structure, we have two cobalt atoms in a non-equivalent crystallographic position, and calculation said what the magnetic properties of this cobalt sublattice is doesn't significant changes under pressure for with both elements. But more interesting result we obtained in magnetic investigation by means of neutron diffraction, and we obtained what Rayrov sublattice doesn't change his magnetization, but there are many changes in Curie temperature behavior. And we obtain what under pressure the Curie temperature of this compound decreasing with rate of 9 kelvin GPa. But more interesting what the cobalt sublattice is sensitive to pressure too, and these changes under pressure is similar to changes in terbium sublattice. It means what our concept of metamagnetism is will work well, and know some interesting result what observed. Of course, we obtain some decreasing of magnetic moments of cobalt sublattice, but this increase is expanded by some another phenomena for this compound. It is cobalt magnetization collapse. Another sample is dysprosium cobalt 2, and in this case we should attract a DN6 diffractometer because dysprosium elements it's very have a very high neutron absorption cross section. And you can see we obtain a good neutron diffraction pattern. We extract crystal and magnetic properties of the sample and obtain a similar situation. What were under pressure, both rare off sublattice, magnetic sublattice changes similar to cobalt sublattice. The concept is work. The third sample, it is a goldium cobalt 2 sample, and we obtain a similar situation, but some changes, some unexpected changes in the lattice constant and bond length we observe. It is some breaks, some anomaly in baric behavior of these parameters and this one, but the magnetic subsystem is show the similar character. We have changes of TC of goldium magnetic sublattice, and similar we have same changes in cobalt sublattice. The concept is work, but as final, we investigate the erbium cobalt 2 compound, and in this case, we obtain a non-expected result. Similar neutron diffraction spectrum, it is increasing of magnetic reflection on the magnetic phase transition and many others. Of course, we extract a crystal lattice constant under pressure as function of pressure, and we extract some parameters of magnetic structure, found what the erbium sublattice have some magnetic moments, and of course the cobalt sublattice have some magnetic moments, but unexpected, we obtain what under pressure the erbium sublattice is doesn't sensitive to pressure application. There are no changes in TC of erbium sublattice we found. In same time, the cobalt sublattice is changes, and of course we obtain a decreasing of TC of cobalt sublattice, and similar effect, it is a decreasing of magnetic moments of cobalt sublattice. It means what our concept of itinerant metamagnetism is, doesn't work in this case, because we lose a strong correlation between two sublatticities, goldium, rare earth sublattice, magnetic sublattice, and cobalt sublattice. Okay. What we obtain? We obtain what for terbium cobalt, dysprosium cobalt, and goldium cobalt 2 compound, where our itinerant electronic metamagnetism concept is work well. And we obtain what the Courier temperature decreasing under pressure, but this Courier temperature decreasing is ruled by Rayleigh-Ralf sublattice. But erbium cobalt 2 compound, we obtain what decreasing of general TC under pressure exists, but this decreasing is ruled by only cobalt sublattice. Some words about some another branch result of our investigation. It is investigation of cobalt sublattice. Cobalt magnetization collapse under high pressure. There's well-known factors for this compound, and some theoretical predicts this phenomena. Under pressure, the cobalt sublattice is stable, but when we achieved some ratio of V to V0 close to 0.93, we obtain the jump-like collapse of magnetization of cobalt sublattice down to zero. Our experimental data have some another way for this collapse, and we have not some saturation levels, but we have more slightly more linear changes of magnetational cobalt sublattice. But you can see what the crossing point, it is 0.93. The crossing point is of this collapse is the same. And what about the limitation of the itinerary magnetic concept, because it is a well-known conception and others, why we obtain another result for erbium cobalt. And our colleagues prepare some calculation and predict and declare some factor, what the this concept of metamagnetism for these samples or in our samples works well when the external or internal by magnetization of rare earth elements works well only when the parameter of internal magnetic fields bigger than 75 Tesla. Please, in introduction, I said what the yttrium cobalt 2 lattice and haven't some magnetization cobalt 2 lattice because yttrium and lutetium rare earth, it is not magnetic. But if we obtain, if we apply a 75 Tesla, we obtain a cobalt magnetization. In this case, we obtain the large magnetic, internal magnetic fields on the cobalt sublattice by means of holmium, dysprosium, terbium magnetic moments. For erbium cobalt compounds, we have it's very close to this limitation of this broader of this working out of this concept. Under pressure, we push our erbium cobalt 2 in diapason, in range of instability of metamagnetism. We obtain a losing of strong coupling between rare earth magnetic moments and cobalt lattice. We obtain some phenomena like a cobalt magnetization collapse, but in this case, the metamagnetism concept doesn't work. And as conclusion, we reflect our experimental data and our calculation in several papers, including scientific reports journal, it is Nature series of journal, several papers in a journal of alloys and compound, and like as successes of our investigation, firstly we obtain some diploma for high quality poster for our PhD student. After that, we awarded by first prize of Frank Laboratory Neutron Physics Award, and in last year we honored by first prize of Joint Institute for Nuclear Research Award. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much for this nice presentation, which is now open for questions and discussion. No? Yeah, Pavel, excuse me.
Sorry, could you explain once more what is the physical origin of the appearance of some small and not integer magnetic moment on the cobalt? What is this? What's happened with the electron shell of cobalt or Byzantine electrons? How it appears?
In case of this sample or with magnetic sublattice, or I'm sorry.
I mean that you have two sublattices.
Yes.
One is rare earth. It's clear. It's localized electrons, maybe in crystal field and so on. So it's localized.
Yes.
And what is the origin, physical origin, of magnetic moments on cobalt? Is it also some localized d electrons, or it's some kind of jumping of conduction electrons on the cobalt? Or what is it?
No, the basic model it is a strong coupling between f and d electrons, where rare earth sublattice provide F electrons, which correlated with D electrons of cobalt sublattice. only. But if I understand your question, but the most simple model, it is forgot the name of the model, induction model. What we said, what we have is some internal magnetic fields, and these internal magnetic fields is generate of magnetization of cobalt sublattice. But the situation is more complex, because, for example, in metamagnetic compounds yttrium cobalt 5, we have a non-magnetic yttrium, but we have a magnetization on cobalt sublattice. And I think what it is some this limitation when the magnetic moments on the rare of elements is higher, we obtain this alternate electron metamagnetic concept. But if we have a magnetization of the rare element, we should attract another model. For example, some direct exchange interaction between cobalt.
Yeah, thank you very much. Oh, wait. Okay. Thank you very much once again. I'm afraid we will have to proceed to the last presentation, which will be given by Dr. Rimjanov, simulation of damage threshold and structure in swift heavy ion tracks in aluminum oxide. So the floor is yours.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ruslan Rimjanov. I work in Fluorov Laboratory of Nuclear Reactions, and today I would like to present you the results of our activity on modeling of swift heavy ion tracks in nuclear materials, especially in aluminium oxide. Swift heavy ions are ions with heavier than helium atom nucleus and energies greater than 0.5 MeV per nucleon. They lose the greatest part of their energy to the electronic stopping and can simulate the influence of fission fragments and cosmic rays on material properties. Swift heavy ions has a lot of practical applications, including production of track membranes or nanostructuring of materials. For example, production, formation of quantum dots or interlayer transitions in layered structures. And the fundamental interest with swift heavy ions is related to the study of the material properties under extremely high level of excitation, which is realized in very small spatial and temporal scales. These scales also create difficulties during application of microscopic models to the description of track processes. So this requires the development of new microscopic approaches which will be describe the mechanisms of track formation correctly. We choose this material for our studies because it has good mechanical properties, good radiation resistance, and because of that has a lot of applications in nuclear energy and in electronics. This material is expected to be under irradiation with fission fragments and cosmic rays, so and this requires deep studies, deep experimental and theoretical studies of this material against the irradiation with swift heavy ions. So the goal of our work is to study the properties of this material, especially the the structure of Swift heavy ion tracks. In order to solve this problem, we used combined experimental and numerical and investigation. The experimental part consists of irradiation of samples by different ions with different energies and further analysis by transmission electron microscopy in South Africa. The theoretical part is the multi-scale model, which is consisting of Monte Carlo model of electron subsystem excitation and energy transfer to the lattice, and subsequent molecular dynamic simulations of lattice relaxation. Combination of these two methods allows us to verify the model and also to explain some observed results. Now I would like to say a few words about our model. To describe the excitation of electron subsystem, we developed a code TRACIS, which is a Monte Carlo model. The model is based on formalism of complex dielectric function and describes the passage of Swift heavy ion and ionization of target, the subsequent spreading of electrons and secondary cascading, decays of deep shell holes, and also the diffusion of valence holes. We verified the cross sections which is used in the model by comparison the electronic energy losses with the stream code and also by comparison of inelastic mean free paths of electrons with the data of other authors. Here you can see that the results coincide well, which confirms applicability of our model. The result of model temporal and radial distributions of electrons, of their energy density, also of holes. One of the main results is the distribution of excess lattice energy around the trajectory of Swift heavy ion. Here you can see the example for two kind of ions. And also I would like to emphasize that our studies of electron kinetics in tracks revealed that the diffusion of valence holes can play an important role for processes of lattice heating. This calculated distribution of lattice energy then was implemented into a molecular dynamic code to trace the relaxation of the lattice. And now I want to switch to the results. Our simulations shows that the passage of xenon ion with energy 167 MeV result in formation of a cylindrical discontinuous region of about 2 nanometers in diameter. The same behavior was also observed in transmission electron microscopy images. Using reconstructed phase images of electronic exit waves, we computed the dilation of the lattice around Swift heavy ion track and found that it has a so-called core shell structure. The track consists of a core with lower density, which is surrounded by the shell which is slightly over-densed. And the same structure was revealed after analysis of our molecular dynamics images. We also tried to simulate the X-ray powder diffraction, which revealed that some of peaks are decreased. These peaks corresponds to the aluminium planes, and one can conclude that aluminium sublattice here is damaged stronger than the oxygen sublattice. This slide presents the result of simulation of bismuth 700 MeV ion track. It has size about 3.5 nanometers and also has the same core shell structure as a xenon ion track. In order to estimate the threshold of track formation, we also modeled two ion tracks with lower electronic energy losses. Plotting these four track diameters versus electronic energy loss and extrapolating this line to zero diameter range, we found this threshold value of 6.1 keV per nanometer. It's lower than the experimental value. And this discrepancy can be explained by superior resolution of molecular dynamic pictures. It can distinguish very small agglomeration of defects which cannot be registered by transmission electron microscopy. The data presented above confirmed applicability of our approach, and now we want to study how these tracks interact with each other. This interest arises from the fact that a track number, track density, are saturates at certain fluence of about 10 to 12 ions per square centimeter. We tried to model the subsequent passage of ions at a distance about 2.8 nanometer between each other, and found that the passage of second ion causes annealing of the defect structure created by the first ion. So it was very surprising, and we can consider this effect as probable mechanism of observed saturation of track density. Then we wanted to find the maximal distance between these tracks when this recovery of damage occur. And here you can see that at distance 6.5 nanometers between tracks, the first track annealed only slightly, partially. So we treat this distance as maximal effective distance of recovery. The experimental value is about 5.4. The second surprising fact was revealed when we tried to simulate the overlapping of bismuth ion tracks. They do not recover each other. The annealing is very small. And if these tracks are close to each other, there are some defect structure between them, some kind of connection, I don't know how to say. This connection is vanishes with the increase of the distance between tracks. The experimental picture shows the same behavior. These are closed tracks and some connections between them, and this is tracks which are far away from each other. We tried to analyze the structure of this overlapped tracks. Oh, this is not clearly seen. We treat this. We found that these defects are aligned along the planes, along the atomic planes. So we consider that they are dislocations which produce strong stress field between these two tracks, and this is also confirmed by the transmission electron microscopy images. This slide shortly summarizes our results. I just would like to emphasize that a combination of this experimental and theoretical approaches allows us to construct our model and to explain some experimental results. That completes my presentation. Thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you very much for this really clear presentation, which is now open for discussion. Questions? Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Several questions. First, IL-203 is coronium, or is it another modification?
Sorry.
Your sample was coronium, or was it any other modification of IL-203? You didn't tell us.
Was it alpha phase?
Alpha phase, yeah.
Okay. What is the thickness of your sample?
Several hundred of microns.
Several hundred? It's not very precise.
There are different, several samples with different thickness. There was a 500 microns and 1 millimeter, so.
But you looked only at the surface with the electron microscope.
Yeah. We cut the small piece and look it with the microscope. And this piece is cut from surface, yes.
But you didn't analyze the channel, of your drug?
No.
No, okay.
Somehow, but not very thoroughly.
And what is the purpose of your study?
As I said, this material is considered for some nuclear applications, and we study the properties of this material under irradiation of swift heavy ions, which can simulate the impact of fission fragments.
Thank you very much. Further questions? If not, then let me thank once again for this presentation. And okay, so that was the end of our session. Scientific reports. And now we will have a coffee break, as you know, which is combined with visiting the posters. Afterwards, we will reconvene here at 11:50, so 10 to 12. Here, still here. And then there will be the poster presentation overview of young scientists, and then announcing the award of the authors of the best poster presentations made by the previous PAC meeting and presenting them the diploma. And afterwards, we will move downstairs to the Green Hall. It will be a technical break of about 5 minutes, and then we will continue with the closed session of the general discussion. So, thank you very much once again. Thank you.